privilege to have you with us today as we prepare to do the most important thing we can do, and that is worship the God of our Father, our God and our Lord. We welcome you this wonderful April morning, Sunday, April 19th. The Lord has blessed us again with another opportunity to gather ourselves together and do the most important thing. Matter of fact, to do what we were created to do, and that's worship the Lord our God. For he is certainly worthy of the highest and the ultimate praise today. We welcome you to your resources and this time. Hope you set aside some time. Amen. Put everything to the side right now and join us as you worship the Lord our God. We want to begin in prayer. Join us now as we invoke and invite the very presence of our God to be with us. Father, this morning, we bless you and we thank you today. We're here, O God, and we invite your presence. We're not here for the promise, Lord. We're here for your presence. We want your presence, O God, to be with us, to guide us, to speak to us, to comfort us, Lord, even in sorrow. With joy or sorrow, our love will remain with you. We still love you today, Father, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of sadness across our country, in our neighborhoods, in our families, Lord. We still give you the praise. We still magnify and glorify and worship you because you, Lord, are worthy. In light of the circumstances or the conditions, they will not change or sway our praise. We will still praise you because you are God. And besides you, there is no other God. So we invite you, O God, in our homes, in our bedrooms, in our kitchens, in our cars, in our living rooms, Lord, wherever we are this morning, God, we invite you. We welcome you. We know you promised never to leave us or forsake us. So we welcome you today for the privilege that we have to give you the glory, to give you the praise, to say, yes, Lord, yes, we'll praise you. Yes, Lord, we'll glorify you. Yes, Lord, with anxieties and concerns and tears rolling down our faces, we will praise you because you're worthy today of all the glory and all the praise. A cloud cannot hide your blessed face on the stormy seas of life. We'll still praise you. We'll still give you the glory. We'll lift up our hands in our homes today and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our God, for being the one who promises never to leave us or forsake us, to be by our side in good news and in bad news. We will not fear because all of it points to being in your presence today. And we bless you now, Father. Oh, God, be the center of our worship now. Get all the glory and the praise this morning out of our lips, from our hearts. Let our praise come into your presence, we pray. And we thank you, God. We bless and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was died and risen to make us your possession today. And we bless and praise you now, Father, in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you again. We're so grateful for you being with us. We invite you to join us now. We're grateful to have the privilege this morning to have our musician, our organist, our psalmist today, Elder Raleigh Sproul, who are going to come at this time and share this opportunity for you to get up off your couches, out of your beds, out of your chairs. Amen. Get up. Amen. And join us in songs of worship to the God who is the ultimate, the God who's worthy, the God who said, if you don't praise him, he'll make the rocks cry out. And I don't want no rocks crying out while there's breath in my body. Join us now for this time of praise and worship. God bless you.
God bless you, each and every one, Fellowship, Covenant, Church, and family. Amen. How many of y'all know that there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus? No, not one.
Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No one could heal all our souls, Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and lonely, holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so weak and lonely. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. No, 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 no.
We bless the name of the Lord on today, for there's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And we call him friend. How many of y'all know that he is friend on today? Amen. He is mighty. He's worthy of all the praise. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Hallelujah.
You hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? Lord, it's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Friend of God, he calls me friend.
Jesus, there is none other, and we thank him today, and we give God honor and praise once again, welcoming you to our virtual worship, and we're so grateful to have our Elder Sproul with us. We praise God for his voice and just his endeavor to help us to worship and praise God in these times that we live in. Amen. How many are friends of God today? Amen. It's so good to know you've got a friend. You got a friend like Jesus. You're on the inside. Praise God. You're not on the outside. You're on the inside, which means he's going to take care of his friends. I thank God today he is certainly taking care of us in the midst of these times that we live in. Amen. He's taking care of us. Amen. We thank God. Hey, praise God. It's offering time. Everybody got your offerings ready? Amen. You know, it's one thing to give when you can be seen. But there's something powerful about Jesus saying, when you give, let no one know what you're doing. Amen. That's like praying. Your genuine prayer life is what you do in secret. Not what you do in public, is what you do in secret. Likewise, giving is when you can give and nobody sees it other than the USPS system, and it drops into a mailbox. Nobody's getting any accolades. Nobody's getting any fanfare. It's between you and God. You're showing him that you're able to be a faithful steward even when no one else is watching. Praise God. We thank God for many that have made this endeavor. When we get our offerings together, you have your envelopes. We invite you again because we are not able to come together physically at this time. To take this time to either go on your computers and do your Zelle or your Cash App or whatever computer system that you use to send your tithes and your offerings in, we certainly want to invite you to do that at this time. And also those who put it in the mail, amen, do so. Put a stamp on it. Amen. Later on, go to the mailbox, drop it out. You can go outside and do that. Amen. But just come right back in. Praise God and get that done. Also want to take an opportunity. We're so honored. We've got some members, amen, of our community. We're sure that everybody's going to eventually be in this circle, but there are others that have taken time without being here to send their seasonal quarterly canvas, their seasonal stars in. We're so honored that I get an opportunity today to read to you the seasonal stars for the spring quarter. Those that have joined in, making a contribution to our building by donating, amen, a dollar amount as a seasonal star. These are the members so far as of April 17th that have made that commitment, have mailed their gifts in, have gotten them here, and we have received them, and we are so honored. Invite you to listen to their names now. Our sister Mary Anderson, Brother Jimmy Armstrong, Brother Andrew Bailey, Sister Jacqueline Ballard, Sister Angela Rivera's Barrera, Sister Barbara Blake, Sister Maureen Burke, amen, Sister Audrey Brinkley, Sister Maureen Bird, Brother Charles Copeland, Sister Renee Cross, Pastor Kanye Ray Eaton, Sister Sandra Edwards, Sister Earlene Ferdinand, Sister Geraldine Frazier, Sister Tyler Grady, praise God, Sister Tyler, amen. Sister Helen Heath, Sister Sadie Hayward, Sister Brenda Hudson, Sister Richard Dean Lish, Sister Donna Mason Rivera, Sister Verna McCord, Sister Joni McNeil, Sister Julietta Horry, Sister Marie Sawyer, Sister Virginia Singletary, Sister Barbara Singleton, and Sister Christine Smith. These are individuals who have made a commitment to our quarterly canvas and have already sent and sealed in their spring commitment financially. We invite you. I'm going to take care of mine today, too. I'm on the list, but I'll be there next week, praise God. I invite you to do the same thing. Go online. Do a quick Zelle. Do a quick Cash App. Do FCC for the provision. Or drop it in the mail. Amen. Don't got to cut through all the chase. Put a stamp on it. Send it in. We will receive it and add you to the list of those who have committed to making a quarterly contribution above and beyond their tithe and offering to the continued improvement and development of our facility. Amen. God bless you today. We're so grateful. Hey, got a couple of short announcements for you. And again, let's take those offerings and let's just hold them for one moment. Amen. Those of you have pressed the send button already or put the envelope on your table to be mailed out, take 1 second. Let's just pray for those. Father God, we thank you for the gifts that we have given to you now. We are giving back to you because everything is yours. Everything, the world is yours. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. But you have entrusted us, Lord, with the wealth that we have. And all you've asked us to do, Lord, is give back. And when we give, give cheerfully. So we cheerfully make these commitments to you. We cheerfully press the send button. We cheerfully take from what we have and give back to you to bless the community of faith and those that are in need. Thank you for these gifts we can give today. We give you the glory and the praise now, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. A few short announcements, then we'll get jumped right into the rest of our service. This week, as we have been doing for the last several weeks, we'll have our prayer sessions on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8:45. Please dial in, join in with us, amen, invite others to join in. Let's pray together, amen, as we continue, as God continues to navigate us through these times. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of God's people prevaileth, availeth much. In other words, our prayers are making a difference. Amen. Now, things are bad visually, but you imagine what they look like if we couldn't pray? Praise God, they'd be even worse than they are now. But prayer is availing. Prayer is sending folk home from the hospital who had the virus. Prayer is putting food on tables that are unemployed. Prayer is blessing us right now. So let's continue to persevere in prayer. Also want to invite you to join us on Wednesdays. Amen. On Wednesday at 12 noon, we'll have our Bible study. And then again, we'll have it at 7 p.m. Those of you that can join us, amen, plug in, dial in, join us for the time to study God's word together. We're looking forward to, as we dive in this week, we'll start our New Testament survey on the gospel according to John. Amen. John is the only one of the four gospels that's not a synoptic. It's a different gospel with a different lens. We'll dig into that together on this coming Wednesday at both 12 noon and then again at 7. So have your pads, have your books, have your Bible, have your minds ready to delve in, and the Spirit of God will illumine our eyes. Amen. Open our eyes and give us revelation. Amen. And learn your memory verse, Psalms 119 and 130. God's word gives us understanding and gives understanding to the simple. So study that and get that in your spirits. So we can all recite that as we open up. Amen? Amen. We're continuing to pray, continuing to lift up names. We invite you to have prayer requests, to send them on in. Amen. You can certainly call our phone number here. We have diligent administrative volunteers checking the voicemail on a regular basis. Please don't hesitate if something comes up we need to pray for. Drop us a call, drop us a line, amen, or text someone so we can get the message and begin to pray as a community. This morning, before we have our word, we're going to pray especially for those situations that have come up in the last 24 hours or so. We're praying for our beloved sister, Ezra Fleming, amen, who lost her dad yesterday. We're lifting her up in prayer, amen, with everything going on. We're also going through losses and the grief that that brings. So we want to join in this morning and lift up our beloved sister Ezra. We all love her and we feel for her today. Amen. Those of you that have lost loved ones know what that feels like. Amen. We're praying again for Sister Kim and Brother Elias. Amen. We prayed for them last night. These are the nieces of Sister Carlotta who are having difficulty and showing some signs of concern around this whole illness issue. We're praying for Brother Bobby Good, who is a brother-in-law of our sister beloved Shirley Potter, and also praying for Lethea Crummer, who is connected and knowledgeable, and our brother James Crummer. We're praying for him, her. She has diabetes, also she's struggling with this virus, so we're lifting her up today. And there are many others who are still continuing to pray for Sister Trudy Dean, for the Dow Cross, my sister, Sister Ella Jackie Dennis. We're praying for Sister Jacqueline Ballard, Laura Lee McGee. Amen. We're lifting her up. And we'll continue to lift up those who are recovering. We're grateful they're making progress. We're still holding up our brother Ralik, our sister Mary Ann. Amen. The whole Walden household. Our mother Clara Clayton, holding her up, who is the mother of our elder Rose Clayton. And many others, amen, who are struggling and dealing with conditions today. Amen. If we don't mention your name, I want to say again, it doesn't mean we're not praying for them. We're lifting them up. We're just refreshing your name, some new names that came on in just the last couple of hours or so. So we're continuing to lift up our healthcare workers, our essential workers throughout the New York and the tri-state and the globe, amen, that are going through this. These are times when we thank God that we know he's sovereign. He's in control. He reigns, and we put our trust and faith in him. So join me now briefly for this prayer, and following that, we'll be gifted and blessed to hear the word of God from our beloved pastor, Tanya Ray Eaton. Amen. Join us in prayer. Our Father in God, you are the majesty and the supreme, the King, the God, and all our trust goes in you. We hold before you, Lord, the names that were read out, and the names that were not mentioned, but you still know. We're so grateful, Father, today. We don't need to familiarize you with names, our situations, our conditions, because you already know. You're omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We don't need to send you anywhere because you're already there, or tell you what to do because you already know what to do and what needs to be done. We just take this time, Lord, to open our hearts up and let you know we're trusting in you. Let you know we have a desire, we have a yearning, we have hurt, we have loved ones who are struggling, who are ill. We have doctors with their diagnosis. We have doctors with their predictions. Regardless of what they say, Lord, we still know you're King, and you control everything. You have all power. Your word says power belongs to you. And we trust you today, Father, in the name of Jesus, to comfort those that are wounded and mourning today, to heal, because you are the God who heals. You are the God who gives life. You are the God who said you are the resurrection and the life. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, speak life to those bodies in comas this morning. Father, speak life where doctors have said it's just a matter of days. We still believe you. We still know that you're able today. We have no doubt, Lord, that you've got all power and you can control every situation. So as we endure these things, Lord, what the enemy meant for our harm, you meant it for our good. So we trust you today, Father, in the name of Jesus, to raise up healing in bodies today, comfort in those that are mourning today. We pray you would confound and baffle the doctors this morning who have said no hope. God, today, speak hope in that situation. Speak light where there's darkness, and it shall be what you said. Because your word, Lord, can speak things into existence that don't even exist now. You can speak it and it's done. And we welcome you now, Father, into every condition, into every situation. Raise up today, I pray, Almighty God, whose trust and hope we put our confidence in. We put our trust and our hope in you. In you, not in the breath of doctors, not in the breath of statisticians, not in the breath of politicians. Our hope is in you. We trust you and doubt you for nothing. But we believe all things are possible according to your word in Jesus' name. And now, God, in the midst of this, we'll raise up our hands and say thank you for blessing us. Thank you for hearing our cry, for being present, for being able, and for being in control. We bless you and we love you today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody in your homes, wherever you are today, said hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome us now. Welcome this moment as we invite our pastor to come and bring forth the word of God for the hour. God bless you.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. No, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Good morning and God bless you, my friends. Sending love to you this morning in Jesus' name. And we just want to go before the throne of grace and ask God to bless his word. Your word is a lamp to our feet, Father, the light unto our pathway. The entrance of your word gives light. So let it give light, O God, to every dark region in our understanding. Send light, Lord, where there's disappointment. Send light where we are not comforted, but where we are saddened and burdened. And let your word, Lord, shine brightly so that your purpose and your design and your intention are known to our hearts and minds. We ask you these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So family, we're going to begin a series about being at home. Somebody said, oh, tell me about that. Being at home, in hopes of helping us to find surprise blessings God may intend to give us during this time of social distancing. Newscasters and commercial advertisements, even Uber is saying, thank you for not using Uber. Even flashing signs on the parkway tell us two words, stay home. For some, this new admonition may feel odd and restrictive and uncomfortable. But if we dig a bit deeper and listen more closely, follow the gentle leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe we'll find that there are some treasures on the inside that we cannot readily find in the busyness and in the overwhelm of the outside. The series we will prayerfully start today is the At Home series. So this is At Home, part one. I want to give credit to my brother and family member and friend in the gospel, Pastor Milton Van. He said he's preaching in the house. Amen. So I said, how about at home? I love this. When I was a child growing up, playing outside every day, all year long, was everything. I'm telling you, the children now maybe stay at home and use their devices or play computer games. But when I was young, we used to go outside. Let me see a hand if you remember when we used to go outside and play. Come on, somebody. We grew up and we played in the snow. We put on boots in the rain. We went outside in the summer. We played tag and kickball and hide and seek. Maybe it sounds corny and arcane, but it used to be that we went outside to play. And we loved being outside. And when we had to stay inside, it was because we were on punishment. When we had to stay inside, we were in trouble. Being locked on the inside of the front door felt like a penalty. Felt like I'm in trouble because our friends were outside and fun was outside and engagement was outside. We loved to be out of doors. We didn't want to stay home. As a young adult, I felt kind of similarly. I lived with the fantasy of a full life and a career that kept me in airports and train stations. I imagine myself OJ running through the airport. You got to be my age to even remember OJ in the car rental commercial. Amen. Running through the airports. I wanted to live on the move. I wanted to go places and see things and be about it. I did not want to sit still. And as a full adult, I lived into that ethic of being gone. I was like the little cartoon character. My theme song was, I like to move it, honey. I like to move it. But now we have to stay home. Yeah, now we have to stay home. We are urged and asked to stay indoors. And for working folk, the nucleus of your activity, your attention, no longer the office, is no longer your desk or your cubicle or your classroom or your station, is the kitchen table. Come on here. Is the living room couch. It's your bed and nightstand. Now we have to stay at home. And it may feel like a downer. It may feel like a suppression of what is truly important, and it may feel like a suspension of meaningful activity. But family, I want to tell you that meaning comes in all kinds of packages. All right. And I trust that the Lord wants to use this time of being indoors, quiet our hearts, to still our minds so he can speak his will to us. Did you hear that? He wants to use this time of being indoors to impart to us a meaning that we cannot get in the face of our busyness, in the face of our activity, in all of our goings. The psalmist says to us, be still, not my favorite scripture, and know that I am God. Jeremiah says to us in Lamentations, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to those who wait quietly to see the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah 30 and 15 says, in quietness, in stillness, and in confidence shall be your strength. So there is a blessing for you, my family, right in your home. Last week, we reviewed Luke's recounting of a conversation that occurred between Jesus and two of his disciples. They were walking along the Emmaus Road. And so let's read together Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. Now, this delicious story, no one would bring us a story like this, but Luke, we remember Luke is not just a physician and he's not just a disciple and he's not just a protege of Paul, but Luke is also a wonderful, prolific writer. He writes, Elder Dennis taught us, more than most of the other writers in the New Testament. He gives us both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts. And Luke gives us delicious, sweet detail. And so we read the story last week, but we're going to read it again. Luke chapter 24, 13 through 23. Do you have your Bible? Let's read together. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself written in Scripture. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "No, no, stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. My God, what a story. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This, as you can tell, is one of my very favorite stories in all of scripture. And so we're grateful to Luke for this wonderful story. So both of Jesus' traveling companions were disciples. One's name was Cleopas. Because they seemed to live in the same house, I think the other one was Mrs. Cleopas. And I think they just didn't care to give us her name because she was a female. I come against that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Cleopas and his partner who lived in the home with him are on a journey, and they're having a deep, intimate conversation. And they're emotional about it, because we feel emotional about tremendous losses in our lives, as well we should. And they are talking passionately to each other. And we get the sense from Luke that Jesus watched them for a while and then came and joined them. A person whose face they don't recognize saddles alongside them and says, "What are you talking about?" And they looked at him and their faces were downcast. They were depressed and sad because they were feeling such a great loss. And so they said, "Are you the only single person, maybe a stranger to Jerusalem, who doesn't know what's happened?" And he said, "What things are you referring to?" Now, if it was you or me, we would have said, "Oh, you must be talking about me. Well, look how good I'm doing now. Oh, you must be referring to me. Did you see what they did to me?" No. He shows the utmost restraint. He doesn't even allow his feelings to overtake his agenda. He continues to keep their eyes covered from knowing who he is, because he has an agenda. And so these are his disciples. They're walking and talking. They were followers of Christ. They confessed belief in him, though they did not understand some of the things that he said, and they were misguided about his purpose and agenda. And frankly, in reference to last week's sermon, they did not fully believe all that he said and all that he clearly stated. He said, I'm going to be captured. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried, but I will rise again. He doesn't mask his language, but the truth is they didn't believe it. He had even proven to them, to his disciples, that resurrection was possible. He called a young boy and a good friend, Lazarus, back from the dead openly and publicly. They saw him raise the dead. They knew it to be possible. Jesus defied gravity by walking on water right in front of them. He manifested mastery over the elements by rebuking the winds and calming the waves. He demonstrated his distinct authority over demonic enemies by rebuking a legion of demons out of one man and casting destructive forces out of a Gentile woman's daughter. He revealed his capacity to mend everything he made by healing the sick and restoring outcasts, like the woman with the issue of blood and the adulterous woman, like the leprous men. He restores men who are outcasts, like Zacchaeus and Matthew, into community. He overcame fearsome foes like dreaded leprosy, and he publicly defied the revered Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. Jesus multiplied food to feed thousands, and he daily broke the bread of life with God's children in the temple and on the mountainside. Jesus Christ transfigured in front of three of his disciples and had conversations with prophets and deliverers who had been dead for centuries. His followers knew him to be a miracle worker, but they did not fully understand or believe his words. It was possible for them to follow him without fully believing his words or understanding what he said. And so here they are, the two of them, sad, despondent, deflated, and embarking on a journey that's going to take more than 2 hours. The average walker walks about 3 miles an hour. Amen. Now, when I try to walk with Elder Dennis, I think he walks 5 miles an hour, and I walk about 2.5, so you can imagine how that goes. So these walkers, Cleopas and his walking partner, are headed northwest from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about what everybody's talking about. They seem to be talking in the same way that people today, everywhere you go and every channel you turn to, people are talking about the same thing, the pandemic. Everybody in that day, it was Easter Sunday morning, was talking about the crucifixion of Christ, or Easter afternoon. Jesus had hundreds of followers. His crucifixion was public. The sun turned black and graves were open. The earth shook and the curtain in the temple was torn apart. Pious Pharisees asked for his body, anointed and cleaned it. They put him in a rich man's tomb. Everybody was talking about this. I imagine while they were walking and talking, they were saying, I just can't believe it. What are we going to do now? Are we stuck for good with this oppressive Roman regime? How can we go on? Are they going to come for us next? Will they kill and crucify us? I really thought Jesus was the one. Did you see all he did? I just can't figure out what to make of this. So into their private conversation comes a stranger who draws near. Jesus comes close. He comes into close proximity, no social distance. He saddles up alongside them as they walk, and he begins to walk beside them. The old folks used to say, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on this Christian journey. I want Jesus to walk with me. Maybe you ain't from the old school, and maybe you remember Kanye. Even Kanye said, Jesus, walk. Walk with me, Lord. Huh? And the hymn of the church says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Jesus walks with his disciples. He asks them, what are you talking about? They say, we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus hears them now recount and recall what everybody popularly, publicly is saying about his crucifixion. The thing is, Jesus approaches his disciples in a glorified body. He doesn't come to them bruised, beaten, bloodied. He's not recognizable to them because he has passed from death to eternal life and he is in his glorified body. And so he keeps his identity a secret to them. He's not recognized because he doesn't want to be recognized immediately. Perhaps he wants the disciples who love him, I hope you follow me today, but don't really know him well, who love him but don't really understand his word. Perhaps he wants his disciples who love him but don't really believe his promises to have a chance to really hear him. Oh, Jesus is interested in our hearing. He says, my mission, I came to preach the good news to the poor, and the one who has an ear, come on, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. James writes to us and says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Jesus wants time to explain to them what the Old Testament scriptures said about them. And frankly, friends, there were no New Testament scriptures because it was the very beginning of the New Testament. And so the Old Testament prophecies were the only biblical witness to the coming of the Messiah, to the crucifixion of the Messiah, to the resurrection of the Messiah, and to the Messiah being able to reign forevermore. And so what he wanted to do was to explain to them what he promised. What was promised about him for years, what he came to do, and how he had to suffer, how he was destined to die and to rise. He listens for a while, and then when they look at him, they don't know who he is, but he deliberately keeps them from recognizing him so they can listen unemotionally, come on, to what he's saying. He wants them to put the pieces together using the scripture. He doesn't want them to blindly subscribe to words they don't understand just because it's him. And all you're getting, scripture tells us, get an understanding. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me pause for a second to say, friends, this is why we have Bible study. Because we don't just want you to follow along and drink the Kool-Aid. We want you to understand God's word for yourself, for praying, trusting that you'll read it, and that as you read it and you open your heart to God, he'll give you revelation. We want to be a learning, growing community, not a community that says, follow blindly, come to church, but don't really believe, come to church, but don't really understand. We want you to come to church and understand and believe the one that you love. And so he talks. He shares what the psalmist said about him, and he shares what Isaiah said about him. And he shares what Zechariah said about him. And perhaps he shares from the types and the modes and the symbols of ancient Jewish literature and what the text says about, say, the spotless lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of the people. Jesus takes time to break it down. Hours on the road together they traveled. And the people, the disciples, Cleopas and his traveling partner, listened and learned. And his words set their hearts on fire. His insights set their souls ablaze. Their eyes didn't recognize him, but their heart knew him well. And finally, they got an understanding. So compelled were they by the words of their traveling companion that they urged him to come inside. Now, you know you would not ask a stranger, no matter how good he was talking, preaching, and teaching, to come on in and have dinner with you. But you're not a member of the ancient Near Eastern culture. In the ancient Near East, the chief ethic of social interaction was an ethic of hospitality. That meant that if they didn't do anything else, they were going to treat each other with a welcome, treat each other with an open door policy, treat each other with a kind of care that they would want to be treated with themselves. They were hospitable, if nothing else. And so when their traveler seems like he's going to keep walking and he pretends to keep going, they impressed upon him, no, you have to come in. No, you have to have dinner with us. No, we insist. Please come in. It's getting to be darker. It's Easter Sunday. Jesus has just risen on that day from the grave, and he comes to visit Cleopas, whose name doesn't appear any place else in the text, and his partner, whose name we don't know, but he visits two of his beloveds and takes time to appear to them and takes time to break down for their understanding who he was and why he had to do what he did. Finally, they prevail upon him, and he says, okay, I'll come in. And one of them said, my God, you helped us understand that thing so good. Seem like you know God's word. You have a relationship with him. Maybe you say the grace over the dinner. It's our house, but you act as host. It's our bread, but we ask that you break it and bless it. And Jesus agrees. Their eyes are still covered. They spent hours with him outside. They didn't recognize, they didn't realize, they knew not who he was. But friends, when they came into their house and closed the door and sat at the familiar table with the one they loved and for whom their heart was yearning, something happened. When they said, you say the grace, you bless the food, and he did. Suddenly, friends, their eyes were opened. Suddenly, friends, the veil of unrecognition was lifted. The mystery was removed, and they knew it was him. They didn't recognize him on the road. They didn't discern him when they were out and about. I hope you get where I'm going. They were ignorant as they traveled on the outside, but when they came in the house, nudge your neighbor and say, at home, baby, they received recognition, revelation, and realization. Recognition came in the house. As they convened around the table, they suddenly recognized Jesus. Revelation came where? In the house. As Jesus broke the bread, spoke a blessing as he had done countless times before, his identity was revealed. Realization came in the house. As their eyes were opened, they realized that their hearts had been burning the whole time that he spoke. They did not eat acidic foods. They had heartburn because his word was like fire shut up in their bones. They had heartburn because the truth of the scripture was burning through misunderstanding and misrepresentation. They had heartburn because our God is an all-consuming fire, and all-consuming fire was walking and talking with them. Did not our hearts burn as he walked with us along the way? The context of their eyes being opened was a residential context. They knew it was Jesus when they encountered him at home. Oh, my friends, there is a blessing that God has in store for us. And it's a blessing that we're going to get while we are socially distanced and at home. Quietly ask the Lord now, speak to me while I'm at home. Talk to me while I'm locked down. Lord, reveal yourself to me while I'm sheltering in place. Jesus was the Passover lamb when the children of Israel were in their homes. Back in the day, doctors used to make house calls. Yeah, the physician used to come to the house and see about Big Mama. Physician used to come to the house and help mom have that baby sister, have that baby brother. I want you to know that Jesus is the great physician who still makes house calls. The Lord is in your home with you. He's a silent tenant. He doesn't require a separate bedroom and bathroom. He does not eat the leftovers you leave in the fridge, but he is at home with you. He says, lo, I'm with you always. The psalmist said, if I go to the highest height, he's there. If I go to the lowest valley, he's there. If I make my bed in Sheol, even there, he's there. There's nowhere I can go from his presence. Jesus is in the suburbs. Jesus is in the inner city. Jesus is in co-ops and condos. Jesus is in four-story houses. Jesus is wherever you call home. Your heart is his home. Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the floods, they won't overtake you. I will be with you. Perhaps we will all be encouraged by a reminder that the Lord works powerfully, not just in our churches, not just in a revival center, not just in a crowd, but God is at work at home. Friends, we serve a God of whom the Apostle Paul says, he's able to work all things together for our good. Now, this virus is not good. COVID-19, the disease, is far from good, but he can bring something good out of it. Social distancing is not inherently good. You know it's not good for a girl like me, because I want to shake everybody's hand, give them a hug, give them a kiss, and now I got to give them an elbow bump away from a distance. Amen. It's not inherently good. A shelter in place order does not seem to be beneficial, but God is able to bring something good out of something horrible. I know we're at home and we're not free to go the places we'd like to go. We're not free to do the things we would like to do, but let's ask God to reveal the treasure in the trash. Let's ask God to manifest the diamond in the midst of the difficulty. Let's ask God to bring a blessing out of this messing. Let's ask him to make his will known to us. What if you came, could emerge out of this period with a revelation of God's purpose? Oh my God. What if you were able to come back into a social interaction, but you had a clearer glimpse of his plan for your life? God is able to give us a realization about his intention for our days, for our destiny, that we might miss when we're out and about. Just as his traveling companions and his beloved disciples recognized him when they were at home, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes so we will recognize that he is at home with us, that he loves us, that he is for us, and he's more than the world against us. Greater is he, my friends, who is in you. Greater is the one who's in your home than he that's in the world. If you're here today and you're listening to this sermon and you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on, I want to tell you that the God who sees everything, the omniscient God, sees you, sees how you feel right now, knows who you are and what you need and where he wants to take you. I want to invite you to invite him into the driver's seat, to invite him into the leadership role, to invite him into the position that God always belonged in your life. Maybe you've been leading your own affairs and handling your own business and doing things your own way. But my friends, this is the right day to make a turn. You're interested in making a turn because you don't like how things have been working out with you in the driver's seat. I want to pray with you today. You're here and you're ready to invite the Lord into your heart. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I've been home alone far too many days. I've had the wrong people in my home, the wrong people influencing me. And now it's time to make a change. I invite you, Heavenly Father, to lead my life. And I invite you, Lord Jesus Christ, to come and take over the affairs of my home and my heart. Lord, I ask you now to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to forgive my sins, to wash me in your blood, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for your promise that if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, then I would be saved. I confess that I'm saved today. I give you thanks and praise. May the rest of my days be filled with your presence, with your glory, with your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and it's the first time you prayed it, we can't wait to meet you. When our church opens up again, come and make yourself known to us. Amen. And we'll greet you in the way you deserve to be greeted. Oh, family, let's lift our hands to the Lord. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. Now unto the King eternal, immortal and invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. All God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll be on the phone tomorrow evening at 8:45.